Friday Sport.
Pastor Meyer, good evening. There could be a change at the top of JCK Division 2 this evening if either of St John's or Ramsey Youth Centre take all the points from this evening's match underneath the lights. We're focusing on the Isle of Man senior men's hockey team this evening too, with the head coach in the studio live with Sam Spooner this evening. Plus we'll focus on rugby too, with the match billed as an El Clasico taking place this weekend. Yes, good evening. Welcome along to Friday Sport Preview. We start this evening with hockey. Vikings A are seeking to maintain their perfect start to the Manx mixed hockey season when they face another unbeaten team in the form of Ramsey A this weekend. But we're not actually talking about the fixtures this weekend. Instead, we are going to focus on the Isle of Man senior men's hockey team, because in the studio alongside Manx Radio's hockey correspondent Sam Spooner is the senior men's hockey coach John Whiting. Good evening to you both. It's to discuss this evening the efforts of the national team, I suppose. Rather than assume that people listening know the full situation, just please, first, John, outline which competitions the men's team in the Isle of Man can test and the sort of opposition that we usually go up against.
Oh, good evening, Chris. Well, the men's Isle of Man team play in the England Hockey County Championships, and for the last 2 years they've been in Division 2. So there's only one place to go as far as I'm concerned, that's up into Division 1. So every year we play a group round robin at a venue in the UK, and then we play against four or five teams, and the winner and the second of normally the groups go on to play in playoffs. So last year, and they've been held in Nottingham for the last 2 years. In 2018 we lost to Surrey 4-2 in the playoff, promotion playoff, and this year in an incredibly tight encounter the guys lost 5-4 on penalties to Nottinghamshire, so again didn't get into the first division. So that's our main target. Well, that'll be May next year, to go to the second division round robins again and win, as we've done for the last 2 years, our group, and get out against these big boys and see if we can actually turn one of them over.
Agonisingly close then over the last couple of years. What needs to happen for us to make that final push, go up that extra gear to ensure that we do go up to the first division?
Well, I think one of my sort of great, not mentors, but someone I've taken a lot of inspiration from is Clive Woodward. He's with the Rugby World Cup on now. I remember back in 2003 when England won, he was always talking about the little bits at the edges, you know, the fine tuning. So it's just trying to get the group of players playing together more. Unfortunately, we have the situation where some of our squad are playing in the UK, they're at university or other education establishments, so we don't get to see them that much. But also we've got this situation in the Isle of Man that the senior players are expected to play mixed hockey between now and Christmas. And it doesn't really help when you're just trying to get that little edge in the men's group, because the guys over in the UK will be playing 10 or 12 league matches each side of Christmas in men's leagues, toughening them up, and they've got that little bit of an edge on our guys. So what we've tried to do this year, we've started very early, and we're actually having weekly sessions down at the NSC to get all the men's group together and playing some men's hockey every week, as well as playing in the mixed on the weekends.
In the men's squad at the moment, there's a lot of experienced and proven talent, players that have impressed and starred at the top of Manx hockey for a number of years now. Players like Andy Whiting, who's a goal machine, it seems, 7 last week. Johnny Callow, Jamie Brown, Chris Bass. What is the secret to their continued success at both club and island level? Is it just ability, Sam Spooner, or do you think it's attitude as well?
Well, I think all four of those players you've named are backers players, and having played with some of those guys at backers as well, their attitude's unbelievable. They leave everything they've got on the pitch. In fact, Johnny normally leaves bits of skin lying all over the pitch, but their dedication to game day is second to none. I mean, Andy hurt himself last year during training, and they don't just put the same dedication into matches. It's the same dedication that you see in training as well. And after being out for a couple of seasons away from the island training setup, at least, I mean, even this year, you see the work rate and the effort that's put into every session. Nobody's walking off with any energy left.
What about young players coming through then? Because we hear so often about junior players heading to represent northwestern counties in the UK from the island. So it suggests that the future of hockey on the island is in good hands.
There's a lot of youth players down at training, I think John will agree.
We've got several under-18s, and 12 months ago we went to a tournament in the UK, and I took the opportunity to take several of the 18s, 17s, 16-year-olds with me, just to get their eyes opened a bit to what they were going to come up against. And it has meant that they've suddenly seen it's not all about playing Ramsey, Valkyrs, Backers, Vikings every week. It's guys who are playing, you know, 25 to 30 league games a year, and they're playing at universities. I mean, we've got people play 40 games a year when they go away. And that's the sort of level of fitness and indeed the hours that people are putting in the season. We've got some good young guys. There are some others coming through. And it does keep the older guys on their toes. I mean, Sam's just said he's coming down to training this year. I'm really pleased that I've got a coaching team of Will Margot and John Gayden with me this year now. It allows me to sort of stand back and watch what's going on and look at individuals. Will, you know, he played for the Ireland for like 12, 14 years. He retired at the top. He was still the goalkeeper in the playoffs. And he said, that's enough. I'm going to develop the younger guys now. So he's got a squad of goalkeepers that, as Sam tells me, puts them through a boot camp every Wednesday night. And they do come off you know, sort of melting jellies because they really don't have much left when they finish at 10 o'clock.
Hockey was one of the sports that featured quite prominently in the recent Isle of Man Sport Coaching Festival. Was there a lot of representation from the Manx hockey community attending that festival? And if so, did they take a lot of good things and have a lot of positive feedback for that weekend?
We tried to almost run a parallel coaching festival. Trevor Christie did a great, great job of putting that together. But when he asked, did anybody know anybody who'd come over, I may have got involved somewhat because the two guys that came, as well as being hockey coaches at a very high level, are also what I would call generalist coaches and coach educators. So what we did was the guys did the general programs. They did PE for 6 to 12-year-olds. They did coaching environment. They did, you know, other things in the game. And then when they weren't teaching the other coaches, they came out on the hockey pitch. We had the hockey pitch all day, and they gave an hour to the under-18 squads and an hour to the senior ladies and an hour to the senior men and an hour to the under-18 squads again. So our guys actually got to be coached by people who are really at the top of their game.
How intense is training for those who are called up to the island squad? I mean, is it a step up from club training here on the island?
I don't really know. I mean, as Sam says, there's a whole bunch of guys come from one club, and we try and run it exactly the same, but perhaps with a little more intensity. I think the difference with Ireland squad is you've got 18 or 19 guys, and there are very few passengers. You know, these guys have all, if you give somebody the ball and say, go and get that ball off him, they will all go in with the same, you know, impact and the same speed. And as Sam said, nobody leaves anything on the pitch. They just throw the whole lot into that training session because they know if they don't, they will get found out, and people will just dance around them and disappear with the ball. So the intensity is higher because it's 18 lads and blokes of a similar standard and a similar level of fitness. And I guess they might not get that at club level, where you get five or six guys of that level, but the rest are not necessarily at that level.
What do players have to do to get noticed by the selectors? I mean, I know it's possibly an obvious answer to say play well, but some players who might not be, shall we say, the more fashionable clubs, still have plenty of ability, plenty of talent. And that might not possibly come through as well if they're not in teams who are right at the top of the league battling it out for titles.
Well, one of the criticisms that we had last year was that Ireland training was on a Wednesday evening, and that meant that it clashed with Ramsey, Valkyrs, Saracens and Harlequins training. So I went to the MHA in the summer and said, look guys, I've got this feedback, any chance we could switch nights? So we did. And we're now going on Tuesday nights. And it does clash with Vikings training, but that's only one club as against four clubs. And we've started seeing some guys coming down from Valkyrs. I've had people in contact from Saracens. And you say selectors, there's no selectors. It's me. Nobody else wants to put their hand up. But I do have a sort of senior player panel, and indeed with Will and Will Margot and John Gayden now, we do exchange views on people. I umpire. You've just mentioned the Vikings versus Ramsey match tomorrow. Guess who's umpiring one end of that? So I see all the players every week. If they don't think I'm watching them, I am. I'm watching their attitude. I'm watching what they, you know, what they do, how they react to adversity, how they play in a game. And I also coach at three different clubs now. So people, if they think they're under the radar, they're not under the radar, and they're probably being watched quite a lot. I'm a student of the game. I watch a lot of hockey. And I'd like to think that I know all the under 18 guys and the senior guys who've got a chance for that group. If anybody wants to get in the group, there is a Facebook group, and it basically says, send me a private message, tell me why you want to get in and what you're going to do, and we'll talk about it. And we've had a couple of new guys down this season. We've now got 7 goalkeepers training, I believe.
Yeah.
So there's 7 guys for 2 slots, basically.
I mean, how does that work? Let's touch on that then, because competition there is fierce for one place on the pitch. And if you're playing a few practice matches, you can only, again, field one goalkeeper, maybe take them off at half-time and substitute them. But does that give them enough time to prove themselves? Surely some people would say that's too many people competing for one jersey.
I don't think so. I like to think the way Will is now organising the session is that all the goalkeepers are at one end with him for half an hour. And then I take 2 at a time and put them into small, into games. And we also don't play full pitch games because that doesn't give many people many touches. It doesn't give many shots for the goalies to save. So we put 2 or 4 small pitches out on the NSC, you know, a quarter of a pitch. It's 3-a-side, 4-a-side. And then the goalies get a lot more action because the ball's their end, the other end. And we can watch them. And Will, I guess his plan is to look at the 7 guys, probably reduce it down to 4 around about Christmas, and those 4 will be the 4 that go forward, and we'll end up taking 2. But a goalkeeper is such a specialist position. Somebody gets injured, you're going to need the next guy, you know, the next guy up pretty quick. And it, I mean, in the county's final, well, in the 3rd and 4th place playoff, Will actually got injured in the last minute of the game that we lost to Nottinghamshire. And one of the defenders, Chris Bass, who's already mentioned, had to go in goal because we only took 1 goalkeeper. So a lesson learned there for me, perhaps, as the coach.
I think for the goalkeepers, really, at Island Training anyway, it's actually a bit of a goalkeepers' union. We all bounce off each other and we push each other so hard. Like John said earlier, we come off the pitch like jelly. But it's actually really good in training environment as well for the goalkeepers with Will there. He pushes you and pushes you and pushes you, and everything's sort of made smaller. So if you can save something that close, you should be able to save something from the top of the D, so on short corners, for instance, as well. Yeah, there's not much left on that pitch.
Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for coming into the studio tonight to discuss the Isle of Man senior men's hockey team. We will be previewing the fixtures for this weekend's matches tomorrow lunchtime with Sam Spooner. But for now, John Whiting, Sam Spooner, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Friday Sport.
Well, let's turn our attentions to football, and the Mepster is in the studio. We have to begin with this evening's fixture in JCK Division 2, Tony, because we could see a new leader if St John's or Ramsey Youth Centre pick up all 3 points from tonight's encounter at Mullinacloy.
Yeah, I was a little bit worried, Chris, at lunchtime when that rain was hurtling down, but I'm glad to say I think it's been passed all clear. So, the second night game and combination opportunity next week as well. So it's great to see it happening, but I know you've been away on holiday, sunnier climate, so hopefully you've taken on board what's been going on. But it's been a bit topsy-turvy, Division 2, because we expected one or two clubs to sort of show their colour, if you like. But last week, St John's against Foxdale, I expected that to be a lot closer than it was. And unfortunately for St John's, it didn't happen. And, a few people were saying, was it team selection or whatever? And they were pretty well there. So I don't know what happened. As we're with Ramsey Youth Centre, they're chipping away, as they always do. And playing at St John's tonight, they'll be hoping to get the point away from them. As far as I know, St John's, Kieran Brock, the one who sort of set the stall out for them at the start with the goals, is still injured, so he's not available. But it does look as if the defence, which is where I think St John's are going to have to be tight, in Sam Ingham and also Nick Lung, they're available. They'll be playing and try and keep people like Callum Sherry, Jason Crane under control. And it should be a right ding-dong affair. And as the Knights are drawing in, Chris, we'll see more of the game under lights as well. And I think a lot of the Division 2 clubs are enjoying it.
I mean, I don't know if it is for everyone, but there seems to be something a bit more special about playing underneath the floodlights. Who are you tipping to take the points tonight? Because these are two sides who are predicted to have strong seasons in the second tier. They come up against each other early on. And again, I mean, you don't want to lose too much ground early on.
No, you don't. And, this is it's a big, big game for both clubs because when you look at them, they've already dropped points. And you don't want to drop points to your rivals because the clubs below them, they're expected to sort of take maximum points, but with St John's losing to sort of Foxdale, it pegged them back because the boys were quite confident. And watched them against their gyms, and the first half an hour, Chris, they played some really good football. And I thought to myself, yeah, this is a team that maybe we've underestimated. But whatever went wrong, I don't know, and it does happen in football. And Ramsey Youth Centre, I think, are still looking at things last year. If they'd sort of picked up points here and there, they could have been promoted. So they're not wanting to make those, not necessarily mistakes, but they want to capitalise on them points that they lost last year. And I'm pretty certain that Ramsey Youth Centre at St John's, great playing surface, okay, a little bit skiddy on top, I would think. But as you rightly say, there's eight clubs in Division 2 have taken up the opportunity to play under lights, and the combination sides are going to do it as well. So it's great to see. And, you know, a lot of these clubs haven't played a full 90 minutes under floodlights, and here's their opportunity on grass.
That's this evening then, St John's versus Ramsey Youth Centre, a 7 o'clock kickoff at Mullinacloy. The winner, if there is one, will go top of JCK Division 2 for the time being before the rest of the second tier fixtures tomorrow. There's only one in the top flight. All matches that kick off tomorrow will start at 2 o'clock domestically. That's because of that FA Interleague first round match at the Bowl. It takes place at 5:30 at the Isle of Man against the Cheshire League. Tony, how much are you looking forward to this one, seeing the Isle of Man team back at the Bowl for the first time this season?
I think it's great to see, and I just hope we get a large crowd out, because there's a lot going on in Manx football at the moment. And, you know, let's get out and support our best players in Manx football. And we've put the kick off at 5:30, so because of the later start to the season, we knew we were under pressure to get them through, because this competition basically goes through to the final in May. So, you know, it's one of them. Before, St George's used to have a majority of the Island players. It's totally changed now. You've got five clubs involved, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's a pressure game for both counties, because, you know, the goal is to win the competition, to win the Interleague, and then go on to represent England in the Regions Cup, which, you know, basically makes this a two-year competition. The Isle of Man had the opportunity to play in that twice, and even now, round clubhouses and players' houses I've been to, you see the pictures of them there in the England kit, and it's absolutely fantastic. So they know how much is at stake, and I'm pretty certain, even though Paul Jones is probably down a little bit of quality, and I don't mean that against any of the other players coming in, because they're younger players, but Steve Whitley, Jack McVeigh, and also Lee Gale, they're big players for us, and hopefully, and from what I saw in the training game that they had on Wednesday, the younger players that are coming in, they're something special, so it's looking good.
A huge opportunity then for these young players to shine. A 5:30 kickoff in that FA Interleague Cup first round match at the Bowl tomorrow evening. Only one top flight match tomorrow, the rest postponed, but Douglas Athletic host Douglas High School Old Boys, and Old Boys haven't really had the best of starts to the campaign. Is it going to get any better for them, do you think, tomorrow, Tony?
I think it is. I think they turned the corner last week, Chris. I watched them against St George's, and they played really well. They battled hard. It's a very, very young team, but there's a lot of ability in there, and I think it's just a question of Liam Buckley and also Tommy Miller's helping with the coaching, just to sort of get it to stick together, you know, as a team. The goalkeeper came in and did ever so well. And just right the way through, there was no sort of bickering. You know, you've got experienced players like Robbie Ward in there. And, you know, when I saw the first two score lines where they conceded 7 in both, I just thought to myself, wow, this is a team that has always finished top 4, top 6 under immense pressure. But I think last week they've taken a little bit of that onus away from themselves, and I think they're looking good. Douglas Athletic had to battle hard with that result against Paul Rose. It was nip and tuck right the way through. They got it in the end, 5-3. And if I had to put some money on this one, I'm just going to edge it towards Douglas High School Old Boys. Some people will be surprised, but I saw enough 7 days ago.
Well, we will preview the rest of the matches tomorrow lunchtime, but there you have it. Tony Mepham is backing an Old Boys side who've conceded 17 goals in their opening 3 matches of the season. I look forward to a Nathan Redmond video criticising our radio coverage of that at the end of the season. But for now, Tony Mepham, thank you very much. Great seeing you again back in the studio. Rugby Now, and he impressed Versailles Sharks after coming off the bench to make his debut last weekend. And Bevan Rodd has been rewarded with a start in the next round of the Premiership Rugby Cup. Sale face Saracens at Allianz Park tomorrow, with the 19-year-old prop named in the starting 15. Chris Brannigan is the Isle of Man Sports Rugby Development Officer. We spoke to him earlier this week after Bevan set up a try during the first round win against Holders Northampton Saints. Firstly, what did he make of Bevan's performance at the time?
Initial reaction was just, I was really, really pleased for Bevan, really proud of him. I know how hard he's been working to get this to this stage. So yeah, just pleased that he can go out and showcase everyone what he can do. It was only in a little bit of a short cameo, but I think we got to see quite a bit.
I first saw it on Twitter on Saturday afternoon when Sale Sharks Twitter feed was raving about his offload. To set up that try for Aka van der Merwe. It was really nice to see that he had this sort of, he showed both power and finesse within that passage of play.
Yeah, and that's what he can do. Bevan's a big boy, and he can do things that big boys need to do. Get the ball and carry hard and put people on their bottoms, but he can also give that little fancy offload, or he can... he's often quite known for his kicking. We didn't see it on Saturday, but yeah, he's pretty nifty with the ball in his hands. So yeah, he's got a real opportunity in the game where he isn't just one dimensional. He's sort of, like, say, power and finesse in one.
He's a modern prop in a lot of ways then, isn't he? That's certainly what a lot of coaches demand of their front rowers these days.
Absolutely is, yeah. He's they want someone who can do both things, really, and Bevan's your modern day prop. You take it back to sort of when I was Bevan's age, and it was your props were crash, bang, wallop, and you knew what you were getting. They demand a lot more from the props these days.
Now, we're seeing him, you know, make this debut with Sale Sharks that weekend, and that's great, but I imagine there's been so much work for him already to get to this point. Can you give us a bit of an insight about what he's been doing and how he's been progressing?
Yeah, sure, Ed. It's a really good point, because I guess we just see the Twitter clip or the YouTube highlights or whatever it is, the Instagram post. But there's countless hours go into what he's done and to get to where he's gotten. You got to remember he's a prop, so he was only 19 in August. That's young for a prop to be out there doing it. So, but he's been putting in the hours for years and years already. He was back here over the summer in a break before they started pre-season at Sale. Met up with him a number of times, and he was down at the athletics track. He's with Isle of Man Sports, so he was down there working on the track with Isle of Man Sports stuff, doing basically just getting fit in his own time. They're the hours. Plenty of other teammates would have been sat at home waiting for pre-season. Bevan was putting in the work, and he has been doing for a number of years. So he's whether through school, whether it be through England pathway, or whether it be through the Sale Sharks Academy.
Because I believe he's spent time, do you call it out on loan in rugby as well? Was he playing for Fylde for a bit as well? So he's had this sort of progression, and it seems like at every stage he's got that bit better and done that bit more and impressed people.
Absolutely, yeah. So he was dual registered with Fylde last season. He started the season, he was overcoming a couple of injuries. He did well, he got over those. And I think the debut was just before Christmas last year for Fylde. Went really well, a club I'm familiar with, and the feedback from the guys there was really positive. And that was great for an 18-year-old lad to go and play sort of National 2 rugby. Was great experience, and yeah, great that he could bring that experience into the Sharks first team this year.
He seems to be impressing people in the Sharks. The director of rugby, Steve Diamond, afterwards said that Bevan is humble and hardworking, and there is an opportunity for him, I think basically saying that, you know, if he fulfills his potential, he can go very, very far. Do you agree with that?
Completely agree. Yeah, Dimes is probably on the money there. And they're two words I'd personally use for Bevan too: humble and hardworking. Yeah, he keeps his head down. He's pretty. He's not one to shout his own mouth about how he's doing, as some players tend to do with their sort of social media forums these days. He's not one of those. He just wants to work hard. He just wants to get better. And he's very hard working. Like I say, he was back here. Teammates probably out on holidays. He was back here sprinting around the NSC. So yeah, he's humble, hard working, and hopefully he's definitely got a future in the game.
good that he can still get that support when he comes back here as well, I imagine.
Fantastic, yeah, and that's thanks to Isle of Man Sport for supporting him. And you know, it's thanks to Bevan for making the time. He could probably just sit in Manchester and wait the week for pre-season, but he wants to come back. He wants to get involved. The same evening that he was running around the NSC track, he comes down to touch rugby and help the Ramsey under-14s out because they were short of a player. So, you know, he is a humble, good bloke.
Sounds like he loves the game. What does this sort of thing, and obviously Phil Kringle doing really well with London Scottish over the last few seasons, what does that mean for Manx rugby? I imagine that when young lads over here see that they can make it if they do the right things, it must be a real inspiration for them.
Yeah, yeah. I'll let it be known, you don't have to be a prop like Bevan and Phil both are. You can do it at wing or something. But yeah, very inspirational. Phil's obviously been lighting the way, and great to see him get a start at the weekend as well. So hopefully our lads look up to the likes of Phil and Bevan and realise that actually I can do it. You know, that is possible. Something that probably wasn't actually quite realised a number of years ago. I think our boys are starting to realise. We've got five boys at Sail Sharks Academy now who are probably all starting to realise that, hold on a minute here, you know, I've got chances. If I work hard and I continue to do well and keep my mind on my studies, then I can maybe go places too. So, yeah, very inspirational.
The Isle of Man's Rugby Development Officer Chris Brannigan there speaking about Bevan Rodd. In terms of domestic fixtures this weekend, let's focus on one this evening in the Manx Shield, Douglas Celts and Southern Nomads, the big two. Currently the two dominant sides in that Manx Shield, and their two matches against each other generally determine where the Shield goes. That means it's an El Clasico kind of match when they meet. The first time is tomorrow when they lock horns at King William's College. But that's it for Friday's Sport Preview. Paul Corkish, the magnificent Paul Corkish, is up after the 6 o'clock news, which comes up next.